when they're not Jason zone, but I should be in the zone.
We are in a natural spot to tend to my bedroom. This is the most zone I can be.
I just imagine that you build this for a special time. Put the chair on your bed.
I can't masturbate unless I have a tent.
And all of my Arkham Horror games supporting a microphone.
Well, I gotta record it for posterity.
Cool. Hello and welcome to another episode of Poor Man's Podcast.
We were on the mic that whole time?
Yeah. Of course. I start the mic before I actually start, so I get the good bits I can cut in at the end.
Fuck. All right, keep going.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Poor Man's Podcast. This time, I thought we would be ourselves, because usually, as you guys know...
We're each other.
We're usually each other.
But hey, don't spoil it. That's an idea I want to use at some point.
Oh, man, that's a good idea.
Yeah. I've already claimed it. I'm hosting
it. All right. But usually, we also play other characters, aside from each other.
Which is confusing, because we're always named ourselves, but we're playing somebody else. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So maybe let's start the episode by just telling a bit about ourselves. Like I'll go first.
Okay.
Right. So I am Jake, mm-hmm. actually, and not played by Arya this time. And I primarily work as a software developer. And I say primarily because that's my only job.
I'm Duncan, and this is a good thing that we're doing this for, like, posterity. Everybody who listens to this podcast knows us.
Yeah, but eventually they won't.
Yeah, it's true. Somebody's going to come back to us and be like, these fuckheads have been fuckheads forever.
But someone listens to an episode in Mexico.
I don't know who that is.
Exactly, so they
won't. Hey, if you're a Mexico listener, props to you, bro. Muy bueno.
God.
Okay,
and
sorry.
There it goes.
Adios. All right, yeah, my name is Duncan. I'm doing a PhD in bioengineering, and, everything other than my PhD really is what I do spend my time doing.
My name's Ari. I'm a human being with human feelings and emotions.
Don't lie, yeah, Ari. Come on.
We said we're being ourselves. You can't just lie.
I have 10 fingers. You count them. And they invited me along to this recording session for who knows why.
So Ari's a habitual liar. But what do you do, Ari?
I work and earn money.
As a
person.
Oh, fuck's sake.
Who is effective in the workforce.
He does something related to, like, data, right?
Is that accurate?
Don't we all?
You asshole.
His job's top secret, apparently.
Okay.
But we're all, like, pretty smart.
Pretty nerdy.
Like, we all have degrees. Like,
I've got 38 of them.
I subscribe to r/I am smart. I am very smart, and I am smart.
Yeah, so, I have an IQ at least. I can't even think of a funny joke.
Higher than your temperature.
In Fahrenheit.
So, where do you go when you don't know something? In the off chance. In the rare occasion that you, Ari Angelo...
Yep. I go to my stack of 37 encyclopedias.
Okay. And what if they are elsewhere? You're not there.
I go to my backup pile of 48 encyclopedias.
My favorite thing is you said, we have to play ourselves, so Ari's like, cool, I'm going to be a dick. I was like, we're improvising. Okay, yes and no.
But what happens when, like, you have those encyclopedias, and they're standing on top of each other, mm-hmm. and they're in an enclosed space?
And they're really hard to get to.
Well, yeah, they're really hard to get to, mm-hmm. right? But they're filling the enclosed space.
Yep.
But then you add another encyclopedia, and suddenly the space is the stack mm-hmm. of encyclopedias, for want of a better word, mm-hmm. is overflown. Where would you go?
I go to Fox News.
Fucking hell, Ari. God. Duncan.
Yeah?
Can you just say...
Stack Exchange.
Yeah. Yeah, which...
Oh, no, sorry, I do go there. Yeah. All the time. Actually, that's my first port of call.
Well, that was the last time asking you a question, Ari.
Hey, Jake, where do you go for help when one of your friends is just shafting your joke?
I got a Stack Exchange. So, like, home to Stack Overflow. I don't actually know how Stack Exchange works. Like, is Stack Overflow a part of the Stack Exchange, or is Stack Overflow the owners of Stack Exchange, or just a part of it? I don't know, but I think Stack Overflow is what I use the most for when I'm trying to do my job. Yep. And I, like, don't know, like, what is the function that adds numbers together.
Jake, have you ever found out what the homepage of Stack Overflow looks like?
The homepage of Stack Overflow?
Do you actually know what it looks like?
No, because I always get there by Googling my question, and then the first thing is a Stack Overflow. Well, I just scroll down until it's Stack Overflow, because I only trust Stack Overflow. Yeah.
So they made Stack Overflow the website and then realized that there was room for Q&A for all sorts of topics, so they became Stack Exchange. But the Stack Exchange Network has Stack Overflow as well as a variety of other sites. That's
exactly
the answer.
Thank you, Duncan.
For if anybody's driving and couldn't Google it while they were listening, that's the answer.
So, as Duncan says, there's a variety of questions on the Stack Exchange, right? I primarily use Stack Overflow, but I feel like what they really want is not the Stack Exchange answers to these questions, but our answers to these questions. Mm-hmm. So I thought I'd just go through hot network questions. I don't know why they call hot network. All right.
What you're saying is we're going to become the next Stack Overflow. People come to us to listen to our podcast to answer their answers.
I've got to stop passing the buck over to Ari. Fuck. Okay.
Sorry, what was your question, Jake?
No, I didn't have any questions. First question.
Yeah.
Stack Exchange. This was asked yesterday by Brenda L. Godwin.
Maybe don't name the people.
Well, no, but this is their publicly visible accounts.
Brenda, I'm sorry.
Well, I mean...
Yeah, that's someone's aunt.
Maybe.
Yeah, what if we start making about jokes about her dying? Your nephew would feel terrible.
I wasn't going to say anything about Brenda specifically.
I didn't know that aunts, you know, aunts were... They're normally in a hive. There's a whole bunch of aunts.
Oh, and sakes, Ari.
I'm very anti that joke.
Okay, so and...
Tell us, what was question one?
So Brenda asks... Should a sibling pay rent to another sibling on a jointly owned house? And then there's a whole lot of background. Okay?
Let's just not do the background. Let's go straight from the question.
Yeah, okay. So I assume...
Is Brenda the sibling or the house?
Brenda is a sibling.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because she's a brick.
So they both own a house, presumably.
House.
Jointly.
Yeah. So I that's what I'm assuming from the question, is that they both own the house. I don't know why. So, okay, actually, I take that back. We're going to need a little bit of context, because if they both own the house outright, there would be no rent, would there? So.
All right. I think what's happened, right? They both own the house. Yeah?
Yeah.
One of them lives in the house.
Yeah.
But the other one doesn't.
Mm.
The sister, she lives in that. Brenda lives in the house.
Okay.
Sister doesn't live in the house.
Mm-hmm, but they both own it.
But they both own it.
There's no mortgage. They just outright own it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. And the sister says, well, you're living there. You should be paying me rent because you're occupying the house. Dilemma. Ari?
The answer is
don't
yes.
Don't say... Yeah, it was a surprisingly clean answer from Ari.
No, I was not expecting that. Go ahead, man. Back up your answer. I'm keen to hear you. Because I am of the opinion that no. So this is now a debate.
Interesting. So the sister owns half the house. So like... The toilet, maybe half a bedroom, you know, maybe like the stovetop.
Yeah.
That's about half a house, right?
Sure.
Whenever you use those things, you got to pay rent for those things. So if our question asker, Brenda did not use the bathroom, sleep in a bed, or use the kitchen top, she does not have to pay rent.
I've got a counter argument using Ari's logic. Please. Okay, well, I was just... So Brenda owns 50% and Brenda's sister... Bronda owns the other 50%. And what Brenda's doing by living there is laying claim to the 50% that she's using, right?
Mm.
So if Brenda's like not going in a room or like just isn't occupying, like I would imagine like the space just under the ceiling, she's probably not using that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's Bronda's.
Brenda's just using the ground.
Yeah.
And Bronda owns the ceiling and the walls.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, I mean... Bronda should really have gotten in there.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, Bronda should be paying Brenda some rent.
No. What?
For, like, cleaning her walls
and ceilings. Yeah.
Ooh.
Maintenance.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So here's the thing. They both own it. Only one of them's using it. You pay rent to someone who owns a house when you are using that house and they're providing you the service of allowing you there.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a owner, they're not providing you a service. You are using your house.
Yeah.
It's the, like, okay. If
it's not your house.
If Rhonda's living there.
Yeah.
No, but that's the thing. They're jointly owning it. They both own it. That's not how the law works. They don't own half of it. They both own it. They're joint owners. So if Bronna wanted to live there, she would have every right to live there. That's the thing. If Brennan was using the whole thing, not allowing Bronna to live there, there would be some sort of financial compensation. Sorry, I know this is a very serious answer.
No.
We're a comedy podcast. Yeah, I'm giving you a real answer.
Comedy podcast?
All right. So imagine this. We three jointly own Poor Man's Podcast. Say Ari was sick for a week. Would we have to pay him rent for us recording a podcast without him?
Yes.
I knew that was coming. I shouldn't even ask that question. I asked it and I was like, I'm an idiot.
So anyway. So Brenda, you may or may not have to pay Bronda some money. That's where we've landed. So you're welcome.
we're nailing it thus far.
Cool. Is there a point to setting assignment deadlines and late penalties besides practicality? That's what Victor S. asks about academia. Like, why would you ever set an assignment deadline? Like, what's the fucking point?
Jesus. Here's the thing. Semesters happen on a schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And if you didn't set a deadline, people just wouldn't turn them in. Like, I can tell you, as someone who has been in academia
mm-hmm.
for 7-something years, if I didn't have deadlines, I would never do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the problems with PhD is there's like almost no deadlines. There's a deadline right at the end of it. There's one deadline in the middle. I met that one.
Yeah.
The one at the end of it, it looks so far away that you don't even do anything about it. So, yeah. But deadlines are important if purely because you need motivation to finish things.
But say you're on you're like in high school.
Yeah.
Right? And you know you have to demonstrate some things mm-hmm. to get the to pass yeah. or to graduate mm-hmm. or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And but they set assignments
yeah.
that they then mark and then that
yeah.
becomes your grade or whatever, yes. right? So they need to set the deadlines so they have time to like mark them.
Mm-hmm.
But like what if like we're learning like waves
mm-hmm.
about waves yeah. in term one. But I don't want to fucking learn waves in term one. I got my whole personal schedule. I'm thinking about holding off on waves until semester three. And it's all online anyway. Do you know what I mean? These days it's all bring your own devices and...
Sure.
You know, like why do I got to do it now? I'm not a part of your system. Your school system.
I took your curriculum. I threw it on the ground.
Remind me, Jake, who was the letter writer?
Victor S.
Victor, if you want an answer to your question, please set a deadline.
Cool, Victor. Well, so you'll get back to us.
Yeah, I do have another short, real answer to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's that people can work on different schedules, but if they have to interact, there has to be some point of commonality. So if they're going to mark your work, there's got to be at some point when they can get it from you. I think that's genuinely the root reason of everything.
Well, they just give 100%.
Yeah, they just, I mean, like...
You just assume the guy did it.
Yeah, if you like the guy, just give him that, like... Victor's a pretty... Like, waves?
Yeah.
Pretty simple.
Jake's got waves.
I got waves in the pantry.
East Coast wave, West Coast wave,
grain waves.
What the audience can't see is they're both looking at me surprisingly intensely during this conversation.
Just like, pick one of us to laugh at. That was... Okay. I think we both got zeros for that joke.
Missed the deadline.
Next question, Printin Params asks, how do you tell your boss that you can't work on the expensive MacBook he bought you as you are used to Linux/Windows?
Who the hell's used to Linux and Windows?
Like, I could understand being used to either of those.
So, Prim Param?
No, is it Prim Param? I thought it was
Print in Params.
Oh, Print in Params. Okay, Print in Params. Take the laptop up to your boss and throw it at his face and say, I can't work under these conditions.
And then he's like, what are you talking about?
And then leave.
I've learned something about myself today. I am physically incapable of not giving a real answer. You can install Linux on your MacBook, dude. It's not hard. It really isn't. It's free. Bro.
Okay, but no, but this is the reason he's here, he or she is here, because this is the environment he's working in, right?
Okay.
Or she.
Yeah, it's Mac OS, right?
Well,
yeah. Got it.
So, working on Mac seems to be company policy, at least in the development department. Everyone in the team, including my boss, seems a tad sensitive to criticism about Apple/Mac. Does it work for Apple?
I think he's talking about Tim Cook himself, yeah.
And I've got social anxiety, which makes confrontation of this kind quite difficult for me. I mean, is it confrontation?
How hard is it to pick up a new operating system? Like, really?
And, like, genuinely, macOS is easy. That's the whole point, is that, like, there's just easy shit to do.
I do agree with you, Duncan, but I forgot that you were an Apple shill.
I'm not. I haven't used a Macintosh in, like,
he's in the pocket
4 years.
He's in the pocket of Tim Apple.
But, again, this is what I can't get. If he's saying they're all working in Mac...
Yeah.
Right. And is development? Is it working in development?
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't want to be
full stack dev. Yep.
Okay. So he definitely knows how to install Linux.
Mm-hmm.
Do it. Like, I understand this is me being a Mac shill somehow saying you should install Linux. Do it. Oh man. This question bothers me, man.
should we move on? Or did you want to say something inappropriate, Ari?
Yes. Or, you know, take Duncan's advice, but rather than Linux, MS-DOS.
Stop.
Yeah. GUIs are a crutch.
You know what? Who needs an operating system?
Write machine code? Or don't even try.
Okay, next question. Sci-fi weapon that can kill people through armor but doesn't damage starship hulls?
Is there a question mark at the end of the question?
Yeah, there was inflection.
There's written inflection.
Is there some kind of particle beam or spectrum of radiation that can kill someone through metal quickly to be practical without damaging the metal? That is a good question.
It's a great question. What goes through metal?
Radio waves. Real high-intensity radio waves.
Oh, they'll hit the metal, won't they? I thought that was the point. Like, you can't put metal in a microwave.
Microwaves aren't radio waves.
Okay.
Just cut that bit, please. I don't want the audience to know I'm an idiot.
Sorry, Duncan. You need to do term one waves.
Yeah, I know. It goes radio waves, microwaves, infrared radiation, visible light, ultraviolet, x-rays, gamma rays. I know this, but I forgot because it was a high-pressure situation. It was like I was being hit by high-intensity radio waves.
The deadline was just, like, coming at you.
Ooh, that should be the name for this weapon, the deadline.
Well, top answer is kinetic impactors. Does that, like, make any sense to you guys, or do I need to elaborate? So
Nope, you're good.
No, well, imagine a knight in armor. You have no weapon capable of penetrating the armor. What do you do instead? You beat them to death with a big hammer. The human body is squishy, even if it's inside an invulnerable tin can. If you accelerate it fast and hard enough, all sorts of unpleasant things will happen to internal organs as they ram up against bone, the armor, and each other. So your gun basically launches a little missile. It carries a lot of momentum, but is made of a material that will elastically deform on impact.
Oh, like a hollow point that just goes...
Yeah, imagine a beanbag round, but filled with lead and with a rocket on the back.
That would suck. My original opinion is that would suck.
Can't you just, like, you know, they're in a tin can. They're kind of, like, in a ready-to-serve bag of things. You just heat them up.
Or launch a can opener at it.
Yeah.
No, but they said don't damage the metal.
Don't damage
just,
the metal.
Just straight up, like, heat them up until they cook inside.
Yeah, I like it. I like what they've done there.
Yeah.
That's good. Also, when I heard kinetic impactor, I was like, punch it? Like, which is effectively what they did. But it did ask for, like, a particle solution. I think we should try and find one.
Okay.
I'd argue that a hammer is just a lot of particles.
Or a beanbag.
Yeah, full of lead on a rocket.
I like the idea of...
Technically, a rocket is a particle accelerator.
Mm.
I do like the idea of beanbags. Can we explore that? Exploration complete. Okay, well, the beanbag's not going to damage a starship hull.
No,
right?
Not.
But
did you ever check that we were recording?
Yeah, of course. Whoop.
Okay, we're good. Okay. Sorry. I just had this horrible moment. I was like, has all of this been for nothing?
It's been for a good 15 minutes with friends.
It's been for bag. No.
No, I liked it. Just not enough to laugh.
No, but what I was going to, the joke I was going to make.
Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
Was, and I'll see if I can cut this in.
Good luck.
Beanbag's not going to damage a starship. No way, Jose.
Depends how fast it's going.
Okay.
And how big the beanbag is.
All right.
And how small the starship is.
Careful about making blanket statements, Jake, because that's how you lose.
It's a beanbag statement, not a blanket statement. Won't damage the...
If the starship's allergic to beanbags.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Ari, for pointing that out.
If the beanbag is a sufficiently small fraction of C, no, it will not damage a starship.
Okay, yes. But it would damage my credibility as like a cool person, you know, like, or a person with my shit together. And they're like, oh, like, you know, invite someone around and I'm in armor. So I'm like, can't do anything to me. Yeah. And then they see my beanbag and they're like, is that it? You don't have enough money for a couch or something? And then I'm internally destroyed. Crushed. Yeah.
I think you should write that as an answer. Like, I think this guy needs to know ASAP.
Cool. Here's another one. Conversely, it might destroy your integrity, not as the person being hit by the beanbag, but as a person shooting it. Like, imagine being in a starship, and someone's like, they've locked weapons on us. What is it? Is it the phasers? Oh, God, is it the quantum accelerators? Beanbags. Oh, shit, I didn't realize we were up against the USS Hacky Sack.
Next question?
Yeah.
Cool. Does J.K. Rowling have a reason to call Severus Snape, Snape?
Snape. Severus Snape.
Dumbledore!
I think they're just asking, so does Snape have any meaning in any dialect or former English or current English that could explain why J.K. Rowling named him this way?
Yes. And I'll tell you why. Have you, you've seen snails eat things, right?
Yes.
So, and you had an old grape, like the ones that are kind of like squishy and soft and kind of nasty?
I don't have many of those.
Okay, but you have had them. You have the necessary experience to understand what I'm saying.
Yes.
Cool. Imagine one of those half eaten by a snail.
Mm-hmm.
Snape.
Snape.
Snail eaten grape.
Yep.
Snape.
Snape.
That's the image she's trying to get people to think of when they hear Severus Snape. Because it's half cut open, it's severed.
Oh, Severus, I see.
Snape.
See, I always heard that it was, you know, Severus Snape is a man, sometimes known as an ape. You know, they came from slightly similar genealogy.
Yeah, they evolved together.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then what happened is that he was bitten by a radioactive snake, and so he was a sn-ape.
Okay, yep.
I have another one.
Yeah, but I didn't want to do one of these. So you sure? Can have mine. Yeah, go okay. For it.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. It's an anagram of penis. Okay. Which is penis with an A rather than I.
Oh, man.
Which means like halfway between your penis and your ass, which is another word for your, what's that called again?
Perineum.
That's actually the correct... No, that's the correct word. Perineum.
Taint,
yeah. But there's another word. Gooch, I think. Which is, like, terrible. It's one of my least favorite slang terms for a part of the human body is gooch.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, I'm going to never say it again.
You know what? I'm really regretting that I didn't partake in the Snape bit. You know, I feel like there was a lot of... And I wasn't backing myself enough. I was like, he did a really funny one about a snail and he said that ape snake thing. And I was like, Duncan will say something about penises, I'm sure. So let's move on.
Gucci.
Gucci. Is it possible to hike over 30 kilometers per day?
Yes.
Cool.
Easily. What? What? 10 kilometers is like less than 2 hours.
Cool. How can I make players...
So we're just going to skate past the fact this person came to Stack Exchange to ask if you can hike. So try walking and then multiply. Like,
just don't stop.
Yeah. Like, you'd have to eat some, but you're allowed to take breaks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm angry at that guy. I don't know if you can tell, but that guy's offended me.
Okay.
I like walking.
Duncan doesn't suffer fools.
And you, sir, are a godforsaken fool.
That was HP257.
Oh, yeah, didn't need to out him.
You suck.
Is you suck part of his name?
Yeah, HP257, you suck.
Definitely comes from an interesting part of the world where you suck is a good last name.
It's interesting to me that he's given away in his username that he prefers Harry Potter, Chamber of Secrets, Order of the Phoenix, and Deathly Hallows in that order.
How can I make players still feel rewarded after looting a dragon horde? That's a big question.
Yeah. Hashtag just DM things.
So what do we got? Holy shit, this is huge. Holy shit. This is like, he's got like chapters to this question.
Yeah.
And like an appendix about further considerations.
Dang, dude. So let me see if I've got this straight just ahead of time. So he's saying that he has had his players loot a dragon horde before. They got tons of stuff from it. So how can he ever make anything else feel worthwhile again?
Yes, yes, yes.
Cool.
Bigger dragons.
That's a great idea. Yeah, just keep scaling it. That won't go wrong at all.
I mean, numbers, they just go up.
Yeah.
And right? Down.
They do go down, but my advice would be not to.
And imaginary.
they go down and sideways.
That's a good idea.
Imaginary loot.
Imaginary loot? I mean, that's what this whole thing is, right? Dungeons and Dragons.
Shit. That's it. It all is imaginary. Take it orthogonally, make it real.
Real.
Give them actual cash.
Yeah.
I mean.
Or make them fight a real dragon. Just fucking drop a Komodo dragon in their living room.
Go laughing.
Sorry, it's the audience missed my brilliant Komodo dragon impression where I kind of went. God. Okay, sorry. Again, to give an actual answer to that, you give them rewards that are special narratively,
mm-hmm.
like an item that does something that is meaningful to that character, or there's a million ways to answer this question. None of them are wrong, really. Like something that they could time travel and see a relative that has died in their backstory, or something like that, or even on the like orthogonal direction, give them loot that means something in another plane. I don't know.
Or just make the loot disappear over time.
Oh shit!
Because like it could be chocolate loot, and they eat it.
Ari just pointed at Duncan, expecting a response. Your response, Duncan.
Next question, please.
How about we just do a couple more? Has there been any invasive plants warfare in the past? Has there been any events or warfare in the past which used invasive plants to damage any country's or kingdom's food crops or its natural vegetation? Kindly note, the point of including the news source was to give the reader the idea of why I asked this question. Ah, he included a news source above.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some other stuff. Yeah, invasive plants.
As someone who has lived in an apartment that had someone smoking weed next door, yes, you can invasively use plants.
Mm-hmm.
To invade your nostrils.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Less like a country or a crop, but like, it sucked.
Can you imagine?
we're gonna get you.
When America just started blanket dropping blunts over Vietnam.
I'm gonna guess a strong no on the actual answer. Primarily because like before the 1900s, invading countries were next to each other, there wouldn't have been invasive plants. Since then, like, it's a real long time for plants to invasively take over a place. Like, not effective.
Sorry, back to the Vietnam thing. I love the smell of marijuana in the morning.
Did we answer that question?
I think so. What actually is the answer? What's the answer given?
I don't know. Someone was like, oh, this is some Bible thing. Like, they referred to plants in the Bible or something. And
okay.
That's not great evidence.
Well, it was more than just... He didn't say that. That wasn't me quoting him word by word. Okay.
There were plants in the Bible.
Can you have a multicultural meritocracy? Your response, shit. Duncan.
That's a big question. Yes. Okay, technically it's a yes or no question. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
I don't know how good it would be.
If everyone was blind, it would be okay.
He didn't say multiracial. He said multicultural.
If everyone was blind, deaf, and couldn't touch anything, it would be okay.
You can have a society. If they can't communicate.
They can communicate via taste.
We just makes out with each other. That's the way conversation. But they wouldn't even know they were touching either because they think
they can't feel anything.
This is what a horribly disgusting turn that question took. Thanks, sorry. I guess a multicultural meritocracy, let's break that down really quick. I think the question they're asking is that since different cultures have different ideas about what's good and what isn't, how can you have a meritocracy where the people in power are chosen because they are good, right? Mm-hmm.
I think we broke Duncan.
Yeah, kind
of. That's too big of a question.
I mean, we've been talking about it a lot at work lately. We'll get into it later. This is not something I want to get into on air, but it's a really interesting question. How can you have different cultures in the same society with things that are specifically, like, directly competitive? And not in we can't have other cultures kind of way, but more in, like, that we can't have a single system that goes for everybody kind of way. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to have a system that customizes itself to different people. We're very tolerant at Poor Man's Podcast. I want to make that clear.
Well, maybe 67% of us are, but we tolerate Duncan's intolerance here. Okay, I've got a bigger question.
Yeah.
Right, and I think we'll end on this one. But this question asker wants to know, why does Will Byers not like girls from Stranger Things? You guess what Stranger Things?
Mm.
Why does Will Byers not like girls?
Now, Will.
Do you remember which one? No. Will Byers didn't ask this question. You don't have to speak to him.
How do you know? Maybe he's trying to understand his own sexuality.
In the third season of Stranger Things, it became very evident that Will doesn't like the company of girls, especially his friends' girlfriends, Max and Eleven. Why is it so? Why was he so averted to the girls?
It's a very good question. Some would say because they're Stranger Things.
Call me intolerant, and Ari calls girls things.
So here, Stranger Things.
He's not really intolerant, he's prejudiced. Okay, so here's the thing, kids. When you're a child, it's tempting to not like things you don't understand, and Will Byers could not understand girls if he tried. I mean, not only did he spend like half a year in an alternate dimension, which is fucking traumatic, like every time he sleeps, he sees that giant crazy monster thing. Imagine thinking like, ooh, I wonder if girls are... I think Will might not even be gay. He might just be asexual at this point. Like,
maybe the upside down is a metaphor for puberty. And he was not in another dimension so much as he was having constant erections.
The Demogorgon. Oh! And the telekinesis was other people making his body move in ways that he didn't understand.
Exactly.
Holy crap, I think you've really gotten onto something here.
Stranger Things are right. I haven't seen the show, I don't
know. The first thing you said.
Okay, well, thanks, guys, answering all these pressing questions.
I mean, we keep talking about doing an episode where we solve the world's problems. I think we just literally did it.
Yeah.
That's pretty much all of them, right? I can't think of any others.
No, those were all the questions on Stack Exchange.
Oh, wow.
Thanks, guys.
How is there a website when there's only like 6 questions?
You should post that.
Oh,
7th question. Ooh. Lucky number 7. Should we answer that one, Jake?
No, we're out of time, Ari. And I'm fucking sick of this. So, thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your period of time in which... Yeah. What? Petered out? I can use the music here, it's fine.